Dance Network's The Bartender is a podcast where your host, Liberty Kogan, speaks with top-tier professionals and enthusiasts in the dance industry. You can hear past episodes anytime at thebartender.tv. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Isn't there a theme song?
Yeah. From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
God, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many people does he need?
How many people does he need?
Hey there, dancers. My name is Liberty Kogan, and I am on, how do you say, a quest for the most inspiring, interesting, and stimulating dance stories out there. So pull up a stool, grab a cocktail, and settle in for another episode of Dance Network's Bartender. You may not know today's guest by his name, but you absolutely know him by his resume. Sean Cheeseman is a legendary choreographer and artistic director who has worked extensively with entertainment icons like Michael and Janet Jackson, Prince, Britney Spears, Vanessa Williams, and Whitney Houston. He was awarded an MTV Music Video Award for his choreography of Scream, starring Michael and Janet, and choreographed the dance sequences for the hit early 90s film The Bodyguard. But that is not all, folks. Sean has been a judge and choreographer for the So You Think You Can Dance trifecta, including the US, Canada, and the UK. So I don't know about you guys, but I am dying to learn how this man came to accomplish such amazing feats and what he has coming up. So Sean, welcome to Bartender.
Hello. Hello. Nice to meet you. Hello, dancers.
Hello, Sean. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your jam-packed schedule. I'm sure you're extremely in demand. And so I want to start first on So You Think You Can Dance, because season 14, I know they're currently having auditions, and the season will be airing this summer. And obviously, you've worked extensively with So You Think You Can Dance. And it seems that all the fans out there are thrilled that it's back to adults this season. Now, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the upcoming season?
I think it's great. I love the kids. They were unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I also love to see now what is out there now that, you know, that we've been gone with the adults for a while. And Mary's back.
Yes,
so
Mary
really
Murphy.
I'm so excited.
I know, me too. And I know all the fans are too.
Yes, I think her energy and her expertise, it's just so inspiring and so thrilling to watch, and she brings the energy to the show that I missed.
Absolutely. And I just love that they have, you know, a ballroom expert on the panel, because obviously a lot of the contestants have studied extensively in ballroom. And I love that Mary can access her emotional side really easily, too. Like if a dance really touches her or inspires her, she will let you know. And I love that about her.
Yeah, I think she's always the real deal. She will, you know, as much as she has her hot tamale dream,
yes.
But she's very versed in the ballroom technique and all styles.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sean, I want to know more about you and your background, because obviously you've had this incredible career, which is still going strong. Now you said you grew up in Canada. Now, were you born there or were you from somewhere else originally?
I was born in the Caribbean. I'm from Trinidad.
Okay.
So I'm a Trini.
A Trini.
Yeah.
Not a tranny, a Trini.
I would say, yeah, Trini, not a tranny. Yeah. I would say Trinadian, because I'm a Trinadian.
Oh, I like Trinadian. That. I like that.
I'm a Trinadian. Yeah, and we moved to Canada. My parents moved to Canada, and I started, you know, in figure skating.
Yes, I saw that. Now, how did you get involved with figure skating?
Well, it was just we went. My parents took me to, you know, an ice show, and I was like, okay, that was the closest thing to musicals. I used to love movie musicals.
Yeah.
So the only thing they had in our little small town was the figure skating thing, and I started figure skating. And then once we moved to the big city, the coach I had said, you know, you should take dance to help with your skating.
Yeah.
But I wasn't into ballet, but I said, dance, I'll take any kind of dance. Okay, I took tap.
And now how old were you at this point when you started taking the classes?
I was 9.
Okay.
And I started with tap dance. And then once I was in that school, then they put me through everything.
Oh, and did you find a style that you really loved or that you really connected with?
You know, I think as a kid, you always love tap, which drives your parents crazy.
Right.
To learn all
those. Shut up! Yeah.
But I think as I grew older, it was really jazz.
Did anyone else in your family dance, or was anyone else involved in the arts in any kind of way?
No, not at all. It was I was definitely the only one. But both of my parents were, you know, dance parents, that's to say.
Yeah, so they were very supportive of...
Very.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, did you know, once you started taking dance, did you know immediately, all right, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to pursue?
I don't think I really, you know, I used to be such a, I still am, an animal lover, so my dream for the longest time was to be a vet.
Oh, really?
You know, I grew up in the 80s, so it was a TV show, Fame.
Yes.
Came out. And when I saw that show, that was when I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to go to a high school. I wish I had a high school performing arts to go to. And yeah, and that made me decide to move to New York and pursue my career as a dancer.
Yes. So you studied at Alvin Ailey in New York?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So what drew you specifically to that program?
Well, to be honest, at the time, it was, you know, I was Canadian, so I wasn't legal. It was the only thing that I knew that gave a foreign student program. And but once I got there, it just taught me and opened my eyes to so many different types of styles. You know, I didn't know anything about different modern techniques or African dance, or, you know, there's a lot of things new to me. And I learned so much from that school.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like a lot of dancers that go through programs like that, whether it's Alvin Ailey or Dance Theater of Harlem or things that are more based in concert dance, were you ever drawn to just pursue concert dance, or did you want to explore more commercial things like you ended up doing?
Yeah, concert dance was never my goal. I mean, I always wanted to be on Broadway. That's why I moved to New York.
Oh.
But my career just went in different directions. I never wanted to be a concert dancer. I wanted to be on Broadway, but then my first audition was with a musical, which I ended up getting, but I didn't have papers at the time.
Oh, what musical was that?
It was My One and Only.
Okay, yes.
With Tommy Tune. And then there was a Michael Jackson Bad audition.
Okay.
For his video Bad, and it was just a little easier to do music videos at that time if you weren't a citizen and auditioned.
Okay.
You know, and then that kind of changed my destiny.
Now, was the audition for Bad in New York City?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And then, so you booked that gig. Was that like your first kind of big break into the industry, would you say?
It's kind of a funny story how I even got there.
Oh, you know, tell us.
I had a really good friend visiting me from Canada. Helen Dutois is her name. And I was showing her around the dance schools where I take classes. We were at Broadway Dance there. And there was a post. There's an audition for Michael Jackson video. And growing up, we were both, you know, such fans of Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Used to learn all the dance steps. And she said, Sean, you have to go. And I was like, I have no dance stuff. In those days, you had to wear your dance gear.
Okay.
So she took me to the dance shop, bought me dance clothes. And to this day, because of my friend Helen, that was the start of my dance career.
Oh, that's so funny. What did you end up wearing to that audition?
Oh, it was just like jazz pants and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
If I remember, yeah.
And it's so funny.
You know, this is 87. This is a long time ago.
Right. Well, and it's so funny that you say that back then when you went to a dance audition that they, you know, required you, it sounds like, to wear dance attire. Whereas in auditions nowadays, it seems like people can wear anything, which I don't know if I'm a huge fan of. I feel like when I used to go, I lived in New York for 3 years and would audition, you know, for Broadway shows. And I always preferred to wear like a leotard and tights as opposed to like, you know, like a crop top and some cute hot pants or something. I felt more comfortable in that. And how did you feel about that, about, you know, dance wear as opposed to more street wear, which people are wearing nowadays?
Well, I feel it's always when you compare New York and L.A.,
it's always been
the New York thing to be wearing dance wear. Because when I moved to L.A., finally, and one of my first auditions, I showed up in my black unitard, really, you know, dance piece of it. And I remember the choreographer saying to me, "You're from New York, aren't you?"
Yes.
Everybody,
how could you tell?
Was in there. Yeah. Everybody else was in their street clothes.
Right.
You know? So I just think it's a different, you know, New York is more concert dance and Broadway, which is definitely they have to see your technique.
Right.
Where a lot of the commercial stuff in L.A. is commercial. It's commercial. You have to look the part.
That's true. That's a good point. Now, you're often on the other side of the table as a choreographer and an artistic director. What do you like to see in auditions? What do you, as far as attire goes, do you prefer to see, you know, like you said, the more close to the body fitted clothing, or does it kind of depend on each job?
I think it depends on each job, but I tell you one thing that really does drive me nuts is I don't like when guys come in with baseball hats.
Yeah, you can't see their face. What's the point?
And also, it's constantly, they're constantly, you know, trying to pull it down from falling off when they're dancing. So that's something that drives me nuts. I know they try to come in with the swag and the look, but unless it's hip-hop, unless it's part of the choreography,
yeah,
those are the things that bother me. But yeah, I just always think dancers have to be themselves. So don't come in trying to look like anybody that's not you.
Yeah, and I know that's difficult to do when you're, you know, competing with the best of the best, either in New York or L.A., and it's hard to really put yourself out there and really be yourself. But from every, you know, every person I've ever talked to on this show and from my personal experience, that's really the only way to, you know, make a name for yourself and be to remain true to yourself going through this crazy world of auditioning.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've all experimented when you go to auditions for the first time. And, you know, I would look at somebody who was kept and go like, "Oh, maybe I need to do it like that." And then I would be cut and not understand why. So when you're always true to yourself, when you don't get the job, which happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
then you're not beating yourself up for not being who you really are.
Right.
Also, who you really are, you never know what they're looking for.
Exactly.
Never go into an audition presuming to know what the choreographer or director wants. So you have to be you, because that you may be the special person that they're looking for.
Exactly. You never know. And yeah, you have to be yourself. It's really the only way. And okay, so you get the Bad music video, which, what was that experience like working with Michael Jackson, someone that you had, you know, looked up to your entire childhood?
Oh, it was amazing. I thought it was my first job. I was 17 years old.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Just finished high school. So it was definitely one of the biggest highlights of my career, I would say, was my first time with Michael, because I just couldn't believe it. And I wanted everybody back home to know it was me.
Guys, watch the video. This is me right here. Oh,
yeah,
your family must have freaked out. They must have thought it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, you know, we kind of did the video. We actually shot the video in 86, so it took a year to come out.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know, you know, if I was going to be seen. And I remember I went to a music store and they had the 12-inch before the video was released. And I remember going crazy and calling home, and I think my dad went out and bought out the whole store, 12-inch.
That's awesome.
Because my picture was on it. So yeah, it was a great, great moment for me.
Oh, wow. Love what you're hearing? Listen to more episodes of The Bartender only on thebartender.tv and see who's coming up next week.
Hi guys, this is Jordan Keon Smith. You may have seen me and my work in Dance Campuses introducing the next spring concert series, or you may have seen me as a dancing patient on Drop Dead Diva. I'm hanging out with Liberty next Sunday on Dance Network Bartender.
If music is the universal language of life, then dance is the passion. But as we looked around the world, we couldn't find one place where all that passion of dance was being represented. So leaders from across the industry have now come together to form the Dance Network, to bring everything dance to the world. We're the Dance Network.
Join the movement. Sign up now for free at dancenetwork.tv.
I'm chatting with Sean Cheeseman this week on Dance Network's Bartender. So let's get back to it. Okay, so you did that music video. So you're obviously jumpstarting your career into the business. What happened from there? How did you go on to work with Janet? I know that you danced on her tours and also choreographed for her. So how did that progress?
Well, to fast forward, I end up becoming friends with Tina Landon. And Tina Landon used to also assist me on some jobs that I did in L.A. And she had asked me if I wanted to come on board with Janet's next project. And I said, sure, as a choreographer. And that's how we first started. And then while we were working on that project, Janet decided to let one of the dancers go. And then Janet asked me if I would replace him.
Okay.
And that's how I got hooked up with Janet. And I was like, okay, well, this is a good way for me to retire as a dancer.
Wait, so was that like your final, like, just straight dancing gig? Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, I never performed as a dancer after our last concert.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Was that a difficult decision for you to make, or did you just kind of know, like, I want to be on the other side of the table?
Yeah, no. You know, I laugh at it now, and I talk about this to some friends, because I was such the dancer. You know, I mean, you know, opening the fridge and a ponche. I was always
Oh, yeah. That is me every day. Maybe not a ponche, right? But some little something always happening.
Yeah, something. That was me, to then all of a sudden know that I was done with it. I was fine with never having to perform as a dancer again. I just knew it.
Oh.
I knew it by then that this was it.
So,
and I haven't missed that part of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's sometimes you just kind of know. I mean, I've done a lot of choreography as well as performing, and it's a different kind of stress and pressure. I mean, I definitely don't like auditioning, and I know a lot of dancers, some dancers love it, but it's terrifying and I hate it, and I would much rather be more in control of my career being on the other side of the table as opposed to being the person that's being judged.
Right. I actually never liked auditioning, and I don't like giving auditions.
Yeah.
I always feel, because I remember how I felt as a dancer, and I also feel that sometimes it's really long, long combination in auditions. It's a little bit of an ego trip for a choreographer.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for saying that. I hate that more than anything, because you know that they can tell in that first day count whether or not they want you or not. And them giving
exactly.
you like a 1 minute long combo is just plain mean.
Yeah, so I just like, you know, I like to get it done. I mean, it's one of the great things about So You Think You Can Dance is that I've met such amazing dancers that my audition.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's so many amazing dancers on, all the shows that it's great, because I'm that person that doesn't really like to give auditions, even though I feel there are times I do, because it's nice to get somebody new.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So when you did choreography for Janet, was that your first bout into choreography, or had you had experience prior to that?
Yeah, I had already started. I started really young choreographing. I was a dancer with Vanessa Williams in her first video. And after being a dancer in that video, she asked me, because we were kind of connected, if I would choreograph her next video.
Oh, cool.
And then the director of that video then hired me to choreograph other videos. And that's how I got started. It was through Vanessa gave my first break, and then Rebecca Blake, who was a famous photographer and a director. She started getting me to choreograph for Prince and other things.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened for me.
Oh, so amazing. Now, how do you...
So by then, with Janet, I was already a choreographer.
Okay, gotcha. Now, how do you, since you've, you know, been a choreographer and a creative director for so many different types of media, whether it's live performance or television or film, how do you approach each genre differently based on, you know, what the final product is going to be, whether it's, you know, on stage or, you know, on film or TV?
Well, the great thing about film is the camera does amazing things to dance if
yeah.
it's shot properly. So when you approach like on So You Think or any of the award shows, you have to think about the camera angles that you want for certain parts of your movement.
Right.
Because it can really enhance it or really enhance the piece or the performance. And with stage, you don't have a camera.
Right.
So you have to always, you know, is it a flat stage with a flat audience in front, or are you in the round? You know, sometimes when you're performing in a round with a round theater, with the audience all the way around, that can be a real challenge, that it's always everybody's seeing the movement correctly.
Right. And everyone's seeing everything. You know, the dancer doesn't have the chance to necessarily run off stage or be in the back because there is no back.
Exactly. You always have to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a preference or something that's your favorite of a genre to choreograph, whether it's for, you know, a live performance or for something that's filmed?
I honestly can't. I can't say I do. I feel it's just whatever that specific job is. I know when it comes to So You Think, I think one of my strengths as a choreographer is my versatility, and my versatility comes from the dance background that I came from.
Yeah.
And that's why I also love versatile dancers, because it just helps you in the end. So it's really hard for me to say if there's one that really I love more than the other.
Interesting. And I know on So You Think, I love the Afro jazz choreography that you often do. What makes you choose that genre, and what are your influences for those pieces that you create in that genre?
Well, I think the great thing about African jazz for me is, you know, there always was, like Alvin Ailey was famous for a fusion of African movement into a modern contemporary dance.
Right.
And then with the show, I decided to do a fusion of jazz and then to commercialize it. So it's, for me, African jazz, what's fun for me doing that, it's my own, so I can do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
There's no rules.
Right.
Which makes it really fun for me. And it's just of the movement. And a lot of contemporary dance, be it hip-hop, jazz, all comes from African dance. So it's all related.
Yeah.
And same with salsa or, you know, some of the ballroom dances. It all comes from Africa.
Yeah. Yep. It's all rooted from one place. And
one place.
And so, Sean, I have to ask you about the Scream music video because, first of all, it's amazing, and I feel like at the time it was revolutionary given, you know, all the technology that's involved in it with the animation and the just everything that's happening in that video is just incredible. So what was it like for you, first of all, and I know that you talked about this in your profile video, that you danced behind, you know, Michael in the Bad music video, and then 10 years later you're choreographing for him and for Janet, and that it was kind of a surreal experience, it sounds like. Do you still think about that today?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was, I think about, I mean, it feels like a flash. It feels forever ago as well as not so long ago.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was like a lot of the times I had it really happening right now. My being driven to Michael Jackson's house, Never Neverland, to show him choreography.
Wow.
You know, it was really those kind of moments.
Right, right. Yeah, what was it like creating for that music video? Did you have a very specific vision for it, or did you work a lot with the director, with Michael and Janet? How did you guys come up with the overall concept? Because it's very specific, but the final product is absolutely stunning.
I think, you know, we were lucky. Tina and I were lucky because we were just, they were like, go ahead, do it. Do what you feel.
Mm.
And I think Tina and I by that time had been working together a lot. And the way we used to always work together was to get together, usually in my living room, come up with stuff. So it was just us just playing on what we thought. But we had to think of what would work for both of them. And we felt being very sharp and clean would make them look clean because, like I said, they were two different dancers.
Right. Well, and those outfits, too, those leather pants and those black sweaters.
Right.
Ugh, so fierce. But those costumes really, I feel like, accentuated the choreography and gave it what it needed to make it really pop on screen.
But the pants were a challenge.
Well, they looked really tight.
Because they were like these vinyl things. It was a knee slide. And on the floor, they just stuck.
Right.
And then if you tried to make it the floor slipperier, then they couldn't do the rest of the numbers. So
right.
What we came up with, this is like an inside of the stream video.
Oh, yes.
We just made a strip of like a baby powder.
Mm.
So they run through they slice powder and then they're on their feet and then they're not.
Interesting. Oh, I love little like
but it was,
inside.
It was definitely a challenge. Yeah.
That was like a little pop-up video moment. That's what that was.
Yes.
Pop-up video. And that music video came out during the prime of pop-up videos. So that's so funny. Was it difficult also because that video had so many technological elements? Was it difficult for you to work with everyone else that was helping to create the video?
It's funny now because it's still to this day one of the most expensive videos.
Yes,
videos
I read that somewhere.
At $5 million, I think it was. And I think it was because there's more technology today.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that video would have been probably done on green screen.
Right.
You know, but then it wasn't. You know, everything, all the sets were real. When you see the upside down room, when Janet's on the floor and he's on the ceiling.
Yes.
That was a real rotating giant set that they build Tina and I would go and play on and try and come up with things. And that was very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool, though. I love hearing about that kind of stuff. And yes, videos today, I feel like a lot of videos today rely solely on CGI, which I don't think I'm really a big fan of because I like to see, you know, what you were just describing with Scream, the intricacies and the difficulty that goes into creating such an amazing project rather than just letting technology take over.
Right. Yes. Yes. And I think Mark Romanoff, to his credit, too, is a brilliant director. He definitely had a vision and he kept us on that vision.
Yeah. Now, Sean, you've had, again, so much amazing success in your career and you've done so many incredible things. Are there any, you know, parts of your career that were really challenging for you? Either like you had a dry spell when you weren't getting any work or any just personal hardships that you were going through that you really had to push through to continue going in this industry?
Yeah, there was, you know, after I tour with Janet and I just to be a little disillusioned with parts of the industry. So this was like 97.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bad. And I was just like, I don't know if this, I had lost the love. I forgot the reason why I was doing it. And then I was realizing, you know, well, this is what I do. So I decided to start a dance camp. I wasn't ready for school. And by starting that dance camp and seeing those kids, that reminded me of why I wanted to be a dancer in the first place. And that made me come back to the love of it. And from that is what brought me back.
Yeah. So, Sean, what do you have coming up? What are you working on right now? Anything that you can tell us about?
Well, I have a few things that I can't tell you about yet.
Okay.
Sadly, I wish I could. But one of my favorite projects, which I just finished doing, is I work on this ice show called Art and Ice that's in Switzerland.
Ooh.
But it's like Cirque du Soleil meets a rock concert meets an ice show.
Oh, my gosh.
And we have, like, the last year was the Jacksons. That was Jesse J. This year was James Morrison. We've had Nelly. So it's like a mixture of skating, dance, acrobats, and rock stars.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm the creative and choreographer of that show. So it's like a full circle moment for me when I first started that job.
Yeah.
I first started as a figure skater, and now I got to work with some of my idols that were my idols when I was a skater.
Yeah.
Show. So it was definitely a full circle moment for me.
Do you really enjoy working on projects like that, that have a lot of different elements? Like you said, you know, the figure skating, the circus aspect of it. Is that something you really enjoy?
It's the best. And the best thing about it is that, for one, I love working with talented people in
yes.
whatever genre it may be. You learn so much. And it's great to see, you know, especially with like these figure skaters, these Olympic champions, to see their work like that's why they're at the top.
Oh, yeah.
And then you compare it to a dancer that you love or a dancer you've seen on So You Think who has a great work ethic. And you go, that's what makes you a champion.
Mm.
Along with the talent, it's also your work ethic. And it's really inspiring and it pushes you to keep going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Sean, it has been so much fun getting to talk with you today. And I feel like I got so many little inside scoops on, you know, the history of these incredible entertainment icons that you've worked with and everything that you've done. And I just want to thank you again for giving us a little bit of time today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was really my joy. And this was fun.
And that's a wrap.
Want more of your favorite dance podcast? Then subscribe to The Bartender now on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play. New episodes premiere every Sunday on thebartender.tv and release on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play every Tuesday. The Bartender is produced by Dance Network, so check out dancenetwork.tv to stream amazing dance content. Thanks for listening. Happy dancing and happy drinking.